Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:33 p.m. on Thursday, March 10th, 2022. Present today, we have Representative Lebon, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Josephson, Representative Edgman, and on Teams, we have Co-Chair Foster. I see no other members on the online, so, and myself as Co-Chair Merrick. And this afternoon, we'll continue our discussion about capital budget issues with two presentations. First, we'll hear from the University of Alaska about their deferred maintenance backlog. Then we'll hear from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities about Municipal Harbor Grant Program. With that, we've got Chad Hutchinson from the university here to give us a presentation. Welcome back since this morning. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Chair Merrick, for
the record. Put yourself on the record, and we can begin your presentation.
My name is Chad Hutchinson. I am the State Director for the University of Alaska System. And with me today, I have a few people online. I have our Budget Director, Alicia Kruckenberg, Kim Mahoney from UAA Facilities, Cam Wolford from UAF Facilities, and Nathan Lay from UAS Facilities. So if there's individual questions about some of the projects that you're going to see today with our deferred maintenance list, they are the experts, and I welcome their great input. So some of this presentation, actually a lot of this presentation, will be familiar to this committee especially. A lot of these requests are similar to what we've had last year, and we're very appreciative of Representative Merrick and the people that raised the voice to help with our capital projects last year in the legislature. What you see before you here is our Board of Regents request of $50 million. That's standard for the university. Out of the governor's proposed budget, $18.7 million was in the geobond package on SB 166. That's more in Bartlett Hall. That is the epicenter from a residential perspective of our UAF campus. The long and short of that one is that the guts of those buildings are totally corroded. And the quote that I saw at one point in time was, it's on the verge of imminent, systemic, complete failure of our sewer and water. So $18.7 million was included in the governor's proposed geobond package. That number actually has gone up since last year. The 18.7 was the number that we used last year. And now because of supply issues, et cetera, that number is raised. And we'll talk about that later.
Thank you. Let the record reflect. We're joined by Representative Wool at 1:35 p.m.
And so the second item you see there is one that's of very high interest to President Pitney. This is the student-facing IT modernization. She's referenced this before, and it's very, very true that the last time it got upgraded was in the late 90s. It's all about this, these cell phones right here. We need to have mobility. We need to have a student experience that our students have come to expect when it comes to services, whether it be enrollment, whether it be advising. We just need that upgrade. And it's going to go the entire system-wide. Right now, it's coming out of federal funds. It's the Federal Coronavirus Capital Projects Fund. There is an open question about that, and that's something that we've tried to raise to everybody, is that whether we can actually connect with those funds or not, that remains to be seen. It has to be tied to coronavirus, and we're making our best case. We've submitted an application to OMB, which has now been sent on to U.S. Treasury, and as we remember from a few years ago in 2020, U.S. Treasury takes a little time to digest and get us feedback. There is an open question about whether we can necessarily qualify under the way that the governor has proposed that $20 million. And so it's just something to keep in mind that whether that comes out of capital funds or under those federal funds, it is still being posited by U.S. Treasury. We have not received an answer yet definitively. And we just want to raise that for the committee's awareness, is that $20 million is still out there floating. And quite frankly, it's President Pitney's number one priority overall as it relates to the entire system, because it affects all of our students. It's going to help with enrollment. It's going to make us less reliant on state general fund dollars in the future. If it's easy enrollment, it's easy application, and just their interaction with the university system is at a standard that they've come to expect. And then the economic development part, I'll just talk about that briefly. This committee's heard about our economic development plans. This is critical minerals, rare earths, drones, enhanced oil recovery, mariculture, our health program, and we're very pleased with the way the committee has talked about those projects, and we're trying to show good value for the state of Alaska. And that was given to us at the request of the governor. The governor wanted to know what could we do to help Alaska. Those are some of the economic development packages that we think get us in a good position. So the next slide, this is slide three. This just, this committee's familiar with this too. This is our famous or infamous $1.4 billion backlog of deferred maintenance. It's been growing, there's no doubt about that. And the need is great. I think about just, you know, Moore and Bartlett, for example, just as an example of the things that the university is doing to help the entire state beyond just the academic side. In the summertime, we house woodland firefighters, and they help out with firefighting activities that happen in the interior when you have hundreds of thousands of acres burning. And so the university has those capital assets, that's true. We also have partnerships that help the entire state, and some of it goes beyond the academic mission, but it helps the entire state in the sense that we're trying to put out those firefighters. That's just one example. So the next slide, slide four, this basically reaffirms what I've been discussing thus far. You see there, Moore and Bartlett, that's an SB 166. You see the information systems, $20 million. The new component there is the Seward Marine Center. This is Kuliak, the infrastructure necessary to build it up around Seward. This is an extension of the dock. This is warehouse. This is the very highest level of scientific equipment that can help capacity as it relates to this Kuliak itself. Noteworthy, this is just federal funding authority. There is no dollars attached to this. This is just our ability to receive at some point in time $94.4 million. We're not actually getting the money right now. It's just something that the National Science Foundation, the federal government has, we're very encouraged by the conversations we're having about this Kuliak, but that money is still to come, and this is just about federal authority. And then these slides, this is basically encompassing, and one of the things that we've submitted to the committee and all of the committee members here, you find it in two things. One is we have a one-pager that basically prioritizes all of our lists, all of our deferred maintenance lists right here. It was in the red books that we distributed to everybody, too. Just so everyone's on page seven, there's an awareness. Just President Pitney believes in efficiency, and she said that let's put it on one sheet so everybody can see right away exactly what our entire priority list. And so that's an easy access information sheet that we want to make sure everybody sees. And if you have any questions about it, I'd be happy to answer them. And then these are the exact same projects that you see in that one pager and our priority list. There you see at the very top, Moore and Bartlett Hall is the very highest priority. And if there's any questions about those top five, we do have experts online from UAF, UAA, and UAS that can give further explanations if you want to know more details about some of the piping issues, for example, the electrical problems, et cetera.
I see no questions, but I think it's worth taking note, like you mentioned earlier, originally the cost was, you know, under $19 million, and now it's almost $21 million. Yep. So, you know, these things cost more as time goes on.
Right, Mary, exactly right, yep. And I think there's an expectation, certainly this year, too, that it'll go up if it's not given attention to this year, too. So the next slide is slide six. This is just the remainder of the projects that President Pitney has designated as the most important for the university. This is 6 through 14. Again, we have experts online if you'd like to hear more on those specific projects.
I don't see any questions. Please continue.
And that is, I've seen part of the instructions to keep it short and sweet, and so we tried to do that for everybody today, maybe save you time. And if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But otherwise, that is our deferred maintenance presentation this year.
Wonderful. President Pitney will be proud. We know she likes efficiency. Any questions from the committee? Comments? Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. We appreciate you being here and letting us know about this. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. Next, I'd like to invite Marie Heidemann from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to the table, and she's going to tell us about the Municipal Harbor Grant Program. Ms. Heidemann, welcome to House Finance. Thanks for being with us. If you could state your name, affiliation, and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Merrick. For the record, Marie Heidemann, Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. So I'm here today to talk about the Municipal Harbor Grants Program.
Ma'am, if you could pull your mic.
Yes, sorry, I do speak softly.
Great. Thank you.
This program began with landmark legislation that was passed in 2006, and it's a 50-50 matching grant program funded on an annual basis at the discretion of the Alaska Legislature. The projects are locally inspired and managed by local governments, and their project applications come through a competitive process where a DOT project evaluation board evaluates and ranks the projects. The purpose of this program is to provide financial assistance to municipal or regional housing authority-owned harbor facilities to fund construction-ready harbor projects. This is for small boat harbors, not commercial docks or barge facilities. And it's been a great program. It furthers the sustainability of our Alaska public harbor system and has helped to recapitalize the local government harbor infrastructure.
Great, please continue.
Sorry. The funds availability for this program, again, it is subject to the budget process with the Alaska Legislature. Each municipality can request up to $5 million. It can be spread over multiple grants if they so wish, but it cannot be over $5 million. The minimum is $50,000, so that'd be a minimum project size of $100,000 with the 50-50 match. There's two tiers. Tier one is the first priority, and it's for major maintenance and repair of a harbor facility that was previously owned by the state. So this program, when it began, was a way to get some local participation and to divest some state infrastructure. Tier two is all other facilities and those which have already received a tier one grant. Typically, the projects we see that rise to the top of the scoring are those that have a documented safety issue, that have financial solvency in their ability to fund match and future maintenance and operations, and those that can show they serve the public interest, they have a maintenance and operational need, and have the support of the public. I won't go over this list, but it is a list of eligibility, ineligible, and eligible items. The eligible items are those that make up the basic operation of the harbor. So the boat ramps, seaplane floats, and anything that's integral to the harbor. We're not funding breakwaters, dredging, large commercial docks, and the statute does specifically restrict any preventative maintenance that is ineligible. The matching funds for this program are non-state funds. There's a few state programs that are allowed as match, but primarily it's federal, private, and local funding that is used for the 50% match. The Project Evaluation Board meets for about a half-day public meeting. The projects are ranked ahead of the legislative session, so we do have a ranked list now for your consideration. And the PEB members are Harbor Program Manager, a representative from each of the regions and statewide DOT, and the Maintenance and Operations Specialist that has responsibility for state harbors. So again, this is the timeline, the call for projects for this cycle for the state fiscal year 23 was last spring, a year ago. We'll soon, in April, be putting out a call for projects for the next cycle. The Project Evaluation Board met in the fall, and then over winter and spring, capital budget development happens. After governor's approval of the capital budget, we can then move forward with project awards, just moving down the list with however many we are able to fund. Others are welcome to come back for the next cycle. The timeline is set so that we know the award within the call for projects, so that if a municipality was not successful, they can come back and apply again for the following year.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Ms. Heidemann, and there may be, we have other sources for this as well, but in the event you know, tell us about what happened in the current fiscal year. Did we fund this? Was it underfunded? Was it vetoed?
We funded it. That would have been great to have a slide. That's a great question. And I can follow up with the list of the projects. It was funded in the amount of about $7 million, and that funded two projects. I believe they were both Tier 1, Seward and Cordova, if I have that correct. And I can follow up with a full list of the project and the ones that were awarded.
Okay, follow up.
Yes, follow up.
So my memory in the recent years of the legislature or the government overall not funding this program is, at least as to this year, incorrect, that it was funded.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Josephson, it was not funded in state fiscal year 21. It was funded in state fiscal year 22.
Follow up?
Yes, follow up.
Do you have any understanding of why in one year and not the other?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I do not know. No.
Thank you.
That would probably be a question for OMB, and I do not have anyone online for that today. But we could follow up, Representative Josephson. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I was approached by someone that mentioned this, I think this program, and that it had been vetoed this few years it was vetoed, and they were looking to get it put into the budget. So maybe I'm mistaking this for something else. But it was a bunch of ports. It also had a school in Fairbanks that was somehow got in there too, on Eielson Air Force Base. Does that ring a bell with you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Representative Bull, we are trying to locate someone from OMB right now, and we'll see if we can get someone in.
And I'm getting a piece of paper from my office that has some information, so it may be something different. I'm just trying to. Thank you.
Great. We'll have Ms. Heidemann continue, and then hopefully we'll have someone from OMB.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Please continue.
So this is the project list that was evaluated this last fall by the Project Evaluation Board. We have two Tier 1 applications, the City of Valdez and City of Yakutat. By statute, they do rise to the top. They are the highest priority and the highest score. We have five Tier 2 projects, Sandpoint, Juneau, Homer, Sitka, and the Municipality of Anchorage have all applied. Their scores are here and the grant fund request. The total grant fund request of all seven applications is just over $20 million. And this slide shows the recent funding of this program. So the blue bar is the municipal request, and the red bar is the capital budget amount. So as we discussed, legislative session 20 for state fiscal year 21 was unfunded. And then this year's legislative session 22, looking for the state fiscal year 23, we are requesting, or the grant funds requested are about $20 million, and we don't yet know what the red bar will look like.
Representative Josephson.
So that looks like it wasn't funded in the current fiscal year to me.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, this is the legislative session 22 for state fiscal year 23.
Thank you. Please continue.
That is the end of the presentation. I am pitch hitting for James Marks. I am Marie Heidemann, not James. But I will take any more questions that you might have.
Great, we're glad to have you. I see Representative Edgman.
We don't want to get in here too early. Yeah. So I'm back on slide 4, and just guessing that, you know, looking, I see the differentiation between Tier 1 and Tier 2. I think it's pretty clear. But maybe one slide ahead, if you might.
Oh, I do have numbers. Sorry, I didn't see that slide. Numbers.
So, the economic sort of contribution of a harbor, is that scored at all? Is the scoring process? I'm guessing it would be, but in some ways, that's a pretty self-evident question because all harbors, by definition, are, you know, economic in nature. But does that play a significant role, or is that just something that's assumed?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, there is a standard for whether the applicant has sufficient revenue and a fee structure to operate and maintain There's not one that specifically is in regard to like economic development, economic benefit. There's this project serves the best public interest and the importance of the applicant's harbor facility, standard 8, which could apply there. There's not one that's specifically focused on economic development.
Representative Edgman.
Yeah, and I thank you, and I only bring that up because just in defense of the one community that's in my district, Sandpoint, that's a fishing fleet that occupies that harbor. There might be a couple of recreational vehicles. It's been a number of years since I actually fished out of Sandpoint, but that I think is almost exclusively commercial fishing boats. I see we've got a harbor master in the back. Maybe he knows, even though he represents Juneau. I think that's the extent of my questions, Madam Co-Chair.
Great, thank you. Representative Lebon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we go back to slide 8, or forward to slide 8? I see the City of Valdez small boat harbor reconstruction is ranked number 1 under tier number 1. Are they ranked number 1 because of the nature of the project or because they've come up with twice the amount of match than what would be required?
They're ranked, or through the chair, sorry. New to this process.
Oh,
Representative
fine.
Lebon. They are ranked number 1 because of how they scored on the criteria. So yes, because they're tier 1, but then they also were still competitive with Yakutat, and it's I don't believe the increased match provides them with extra points. The additional match is simply because they hit the ceiling of the $5 million max, so they have to fund the rest of their project.
And thank you, through the chair, that makes sense, but it also makes sense to reward a community they put more into a project. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lebon. Let the record reflect at 1:56 p.m. we're joined by Representatives Johnson and Carpenter. And with that, we'll take a brief at ease. Thank you. House Finance back on the record. With us now we have Alexi Painter from the Legislative Finance Division. Thank you, Alexi, for being with us. We have a question from Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Alexi, I have a list of harbor projects similar to the one in this presentation, but different. And it's under statute AS29.60.700, not .800. And it has Matsuboro Deepwater Port, Aleutians Eastboro, Small Boat Harbor, Valdez, Aleutians, and Fairbanks, Eielson Air Force Base schools. I guess it's a bond package, but it's been vetoed the last couple of years. Do you know what I'm referencing?
For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. Yes, I'm familiar with the program. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering if we're looking at these Municipal Harbor Grants Program here, which is a fine list of boat harbors, but the other ones are being vetoed and the state's obligation is not being paid, I would be a little hesitant to get into another arrangement with more projects.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, so the difference in the structure of these programs is the past bond program, that there's still an obligation for the state of about $2.4 million in FY23. The projects were financed, and then there's annual bond payments. These municipal harbor projects under the program the presentation covered, the funding those in the initial capitalization would discharge the state's obligation, so it wouldn't create an ongoing obligation.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we now have Neil Steiniger from the Office of Management and Budget online. Would you like to rephrase your question for OMB, Representative Wohl?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess, Mr. Steiniger, I was referencing the harbor projects under AS29.60.700, which is a list of harbor projects that I guess was a bond match, and that was vetoed the last few years. Do you know why, or do you know what I'm talking about, and do you know why?
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, I believe I know what you're talking about. Sorry, just kind of coming up to speed on the question, but we vetoed a number of projects last year that were included in the general obligation bond package that was proposed during the last session. Some of those projects then were included in the capital budget passed by the legislature, utilizing unrestricted general funds rather than receipts from general obligation bond issuances. And many of those projects that have moved from the bond package to the regular capital budget were vetoed just in acknowledgement of the resources available at that time. The unrestricted general fund resources available at that time, and the desire of the administration to utilize bonding in that capital budget to support some of those needs.
Follow up?
Thank you. Through the chair, but the obligation was realized before last year and before this GEO bond was put forth, right? I mean, it was paid in previous years just under capital budget or UGF, right? Or operating budget, I mean.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, I might be confusing the projects that you're talking about with projects that were included in the GEO bond package last year. Is this in reference to some of the municipal debt included in the debt services section of operating budgets in prior years that hasn't been included in operating budgets under this administration? Is that the debt that you're speaking of?
I don't know. It was included, it was vetoed. I mean, you guys probably didn't put it in. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's the one. I mean, someone go back to 2007, 2012. You know, they're not just from last year, so they have some history.
Right. Through the chair, Representative Wohl. Okay, I think I'm coming up to speed on the question. So the administration, starting in, I believe the first budget that we put forward for fiscal year 20 stopped including some of the debt service payments for non-state debt in that previously had been included in the operating budget, often referred to as moral obligation debt. Some of these items were removed in that year and have been added back in subsequent years on occasion and vetoed as they're not direct state obligation for debt, simply debt kind of paid as a matter of convention by the state in prior years, but not a direct obligation tied to the state's credit rating.
Thank you. Representatives Josephson and then LeBon. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Mr. Steininger, sticking with the exact same subject, when the administration took the position that the moral obligation was such that it didn't require funding of the items Representative Wool has noted, did it do so? That is, did it reach the conclusion that it could veto those in the same way that it vetoed school bond debt, and with the same sort of looking through the same sort of lens in terms of moral responsibility, or did it view them, reach the same conclusion for a veto but in some different way?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, they are by nature very similar. Obligations that are not necessarily tied to the state's credit rating are subject to appropriation debt that were viewed, fairly similarly in consideration in those years in which they were vetoed.
Follow up?
So, Mr. Steiner, we have a transportation official with us. She has a list of $20 million of municipal harbor grant programs that rank high. Do we traditionally fund, my first question is how much of that $20 million, and there looks like seven items on it, are in the governor's budget?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I do not believe that any of the harbors from the Municipal Harbor Grant Fund list, which is separate from the debt service questions I was answering for Representative Wool, a separate concept, I do not believe any of those are accounted for in our budget. However, there may be one that is included in the general obligation bond package that may appear on that list, or a similar project for a similar harbor, but I would have to get back to you on that.
Yes, follow up?
So, Mr. Steininger, I don't mean to be tough on the administration, but I just want to be clear about something. Its department, the Department of Transportation, is presenting us with a list of highly ranked projects that aren't in the capital budget for the administration, which begs the question, why are we looking at the list? And then also, the administration is vetoing these municipally driven programs for which historically legislatures, when they could afford to, would participate probably in the amount of 50% in funding. So I guess my question is, does the administration have any interest in improvement of harbors and docks at the local level?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, so the Municipal Harbor Matching Grant Program, has been funded in prior year capital budgets when there's available, revenues to fund projects on that list. The level of funding is based on what the highest ranked projects are on that list. That's separate from, the state in previous years choosing to take on a portion of municipally issued debt that appears as that, you know, moral obligation debt in the operating budget. They're separate programs. The Municipal Harbor Grant Program has ranking criteria that goes through the Department of Transportation, which I understand you're currently having that the department present on how that criteria works and what projects come out of that. The administration is very much interested in funding ports and harbor infrastructure projects. You can see some of that reflected in the general obligation bond package that we've put forward. This is an area of need throughout the state, but like just about any area of need throughout the state, the need exceeds the resources that were available as we were putting together the budget in December and our subsequent amendment packages.
Representative Josephson.
Since December, through the chair, since December, we've come in, as you know better than anybody, to a lot more money. Does the administration now take a different position? I mean, I see a number of $20 million, a department that ranks things highly. We have $20 million. Should we appropriate these monies?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, as we're responding to, very quickly changing events in state revenue, we're certainly analyzing what the best, highest and best use of that revenue coming into the state is for the state. This is a very quickly, changing events in terms of what state revenue looks like. And until we have, a solid spring forecast, I don't think I can speak to exactly what the administration's best recommendation for use of any of this new revenue is. We've certainly already proposed mechanisms to fund some port and harbor projects around the state through our general obligation bond package. We have put out priorities, using the funding available December 15th. This change in the revenue situation may change, some of the perspective of how to best fund some of those projects. But currently, the administration still, believes that general obligation bond issuance is still a, advantageous thing for the state. How we use surplus coming in, whether it's fiscal year 22 surplus or ongoing surpluses into the future, is something we need to think through, as we get the spring forecast here on March 15th. So I don't think I can say that we have a recommendation on whether or not an additional appropriation for the Muni Harbor Matching Grant Program is the best use of $20 million or just another good use in a long list of good uses of money for the state. I guess I don't have a solid position to give you on this right now, but, we're also responding to new money coming in and trying to understand what the best use of that is.
Thank you. Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm going to go back to Representative Wohl's comments about Eielson Air Force Base School. Fairbanks North Shore Borough School District has a school on Eielson Air Force Base. And you read that there's a list of capital projects that was a mix, included several ports that may or may not be on that list. But was that a different statute, a different project list or source? And what year was that? So I'm asking Representative Wohl through the chair for a little clarification.
Through the chair, Representative this is a different statute, AS 29.60.700, the Fairbanks bond was issued in 2006, and I think Mr. Steiniger said it's a moral obligation, but not a state, like school bond debt reimbursement. I think the deal was the state would pay half, and the borough or municipality would pay half, and there's a bunch of them. Most of them are ports, but Fairbanks got in there somehow, and I think it's been vetoed the last several years. And maybe with this new revenue forecast, Mr. Steiniger, I think it's a $2 million obligation for FY23. Just throwing that out there.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Wohl.
Any comment, Mr. Steiniger?
No, thank you, though.
Okay. Anything further? I see no further questions from the committee. Ms. Heineman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
As there's no further questions, this concludes our agenda. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Friday, March 11th at 9 a.m. We will hear amendments and take public testimony for House Bill 246, Access to Marijuana Conviction Records, and we'll hear an introduction of House Bill 306, Extend the Board of Pharmacy. And with that, at 2:14 p.m., we are adjourned.